Well, I surely need your prayers tonight. I'd like to start in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in the 24th verse. This comes at the end of the greatest sermon ever preached. This is the very tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus basically lays out the very core of the way we should live our life, and the very core of the instructions that we should base our lives on. They're very instructive. If we will hear these, Jesus says, words like, blessed are the poor in spirit, not the proud, the number ones, the big ones, but blessed are the poor in spirit, those that will humble themselves. That's valuable. That's the kind of instructions. Instructions like, you've heard of old time, it was an eye for an eye. I'm going to tell you something else. I say love your enemy. Those kind of words was through the 5th and 6th chapter of Matthew that the Lord laid out for our basis of our life. It's very valuable for us. He says here, speaking of those words, up to this point, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, I like things that work. I love to watch machinery that's made for a certain thing. I love to watch it accomplish that and do it. It's just the neatest thing to me to watch somebody put a 4x8 sheet of plywood into a machine and program it to cut out pieces, and to watch that fulfill that and do that. I love to see things work like that. It's fascinating to me to that it works. On the same thing, I don't like things that don't work. I don't like to have something that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I don't like that very well. I don't like to fool with something. For instance, when I like do different things, and I don't like to have in my mind I'm going to go cut a load of firewood and spend all the time that I was going to cut the firewood working on the saw that I was going to cut the firewood with. I don't like that. I like the equipment that I have. I have a few of those that's like that. I have a weed eater. It's a steel weed eater. And it seems almost flawless that all I have to do is pump the little pump, hit the ignition, one jerk, it starts and runs. I love that. I love that. It works the way it's supposed to work. Jesus gives us an outline of something here that works. It works the way he said it worked. And he said, if you'll hear these sayings of mine, not only hear them, I heard that, not only hear the words of them, or even be smart enough to me, I have some meanings of them, but if you're willing to do them, hear them and do them, put them into your life, if you're willing to do that, he says, you'll build something that'll stand. Every test of life will stand. He says here, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which builded his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Two different people, two different places. One works, and one doesn't work. I'm thinking about been down to Dallas, Texas several times, and they have a problem down there with their houses. They build their houses down there. They do a foundation and put it down to a certain level, all the things they're supposed to do, and the house stands fairly well. They have a problem down there that it's clay. The ground's clay. And it's got so much moisture in the clay, and everything does real well except in extreme, extreme conditions. Down there, when they have severe droughts, more and more, the longer the drought is, the deeper, the more moisture comes out of that clay, the more the clay shrinks, the more the house starts breaking up, and those houses will actually start separating, and you can see it inside where they'll go down and break it down. And you know, under normal circumstances, you would never know that there was a problem there. So it is for this scenario. So many people can build things in their life that looks like it's just as wise as it can be. And it isn't tested for the longest of times. There's no test to it much. But down there, when it gets real severe, the houses start failing. And they know what the solution is. They got to go in and drill down. And it isn't just a few feet. They got to drill down, put columns in there. There is a strata there. But it may be 20 feet deep. But there is a way to find it. There is something solid there. It just takes something to get to it. I like things that work. And Jesus described something that will work. And when the storms of life come and the hardships come and the problems come, it will stand for you. If you anchor yourself on it tonight, I guarantee you there is no truer words ever spoken than these words spoken. That this will stand. If you apply it to your life, it will stand. And you know how often it is, and through my life, observation of things, I've seen things that I know is not going to work. Okay? It's not going to work. I look at it and I know it's not going to work. I'm thinking about back when I was a young lad. I wasn't raised with any kind of convictions of anything. We wasn't religious. We didn't know the Lord. We didn't have no much convictions in our life. When I was a little boy, I remember, I wasn't little, but I was just a youngster. I remember we was watching a TV program one night. And on that program, there was these guys was hang gliding. You know what that is? They got these big gliders, hang gliders, and they jump off these cliffs and stuff, and they was hang gliders. Really interesting thing and neat to watch and all that. And in my area where I grew up, there was only, nobody got really more than one channel much. I mean, everybody got the same channel. Well, anyway, the next day I'm there and I looked, and one of the neighbor guys, one of our friends, he's walking down the road and he's got this big contraption on his back walking down the road. He had seen the same program I had. And his mind started working, as young men will, and he got the idea that he was going to do some hang gliding. Well, he didn't have a hang glider, so he decided he was going to take him some wood, and he cut him out some pieces, and he got him a tarp, and he tacked the tarp to it, nailed it on, and he goes down the road with this big contraption on his shoulders, and we lived in the mountains, and he was headed up for the big field we had up there with some rock cliffs and stuff up on it, and big rocks, and he's going to go and hang glide. And I remember when I saw him, his name was Leroy Claypool. And I remember when Leroy was walking down the road, I remember thinking, that ain't gonna work. that ain't gonna work. You can't just do that. I didn't know what to say why it wasn't gonna work, but I just looked and said, that ain't gonna work. Well, Leroy goes on up there and has his debut in flying, and it was somewhat less than impressive. It didn't work. It didn't work, folks. There's things that is obviously not going to work. How often in life I've seen young people, many of them raised right around us, many of them knowing these kind of things, and many of them come up to a certain time and they assume that this scripture is an error. That they assume that this isn't true. Jesus said that if you hear these words of mine and do them, I will liken you unto a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And when the storms come, the rains come, the storms come, folks, they will come. Okay? The storms came to both scenarios. They will come to life at some point in life. They're going to come. And you will stand if you heed these things. This is something that you can put your life on. You can anchor yourself in this and know that you are secure. But on the other hand, to those that would not heed these words, he said, I will liken him to a foolish man that goes builds his house. And how many foolish people there have been that have walked away from this and decided, I'm going to build on something else. I'm going to build on my own intellect or my own ability, or I'm going to build on my desire for the world or the things. I'm going to build on something other than the Word of God. I'm going to build on a human understanding of life and of things that I've seen our young people. I know of a number of times that I've seen young people. I know they didn't start out their young lives saying, I, this is my plan. I'm going to marry this young man, and we're going to have two or three children, and then something down the road, we're going to get a divorce, and our home's going to be broken. I don't believe they ever planned it. But I've looked and said, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. It's obvious it's not going to work. You can't leave the Lord out. Oh, it will stand some storms. It'll stand some rain. It'll stand some situations. You can build a house out here and not put no foundation on it, and it'll be square and level for a while. As long as the storms don't hit it, as long as it ain't challenged, it'll look good, it'll stand up. But when the hard times come, then you're going to find out really what it is. I've seen things through my life that I looked and said, and now I'm an older guy. I'm getting up in years now, and I've looked at some of the things in my life, and I've said, that don't work. I remember as a young boy seeing a situation where there was a man that had a wife and had a couple of children. At that time, I think maybe just one child. And the man would go to work, and the wife wouldn't do anything. When he got home, I've seen this. Their little boy that was just a toddler would have the same diaper on all day. It would be hanging. The house would be filthy. There had nothing done. I saw that in my life. And now I can say to you today, that ain't going to work. It didn't work. The man didn't stay with that very long. Listen, folks, there's some things that you can look and say in life, this isn't going to work. It isn't what it's made of. There is things that will work in life. The Lord give us the description of the things that will work in life. Some of these things will never work. Folks, listen. The world has it wrong. And what they're doing is not going to work. That's true. Amen. They think that we're getting smarter. We're getting more intellectual. We're getting more capable. We've got the digital age. We can do all these things. We can look at Mars. We can send things out there. We can do all these things. None of those things. I'm an older man now. I can look and tell you, none of those things has helped our human lives. Is life getting better? Are we being better as a people? Is society better? Have we calmed ourselves down? Is it a better place to live in this world than it used to be? Is all those things? No. I can tell you that this isn't working. And if you have the desire tonight that maybe you want to see what the world has, I'm going to give you a warning. Take it from a friend tonight. It's not going to work. It has never worked, and it will never work. The idea that religion is the problem, and that somehow we can ascend to this place of euphoria if we only get smart enough to do it, if we only teach the right way, if we only have the right kind of tolerance and the right kind of way, we'll get to a certain place in life. It's not true. If you just look and say, I'm going to have some fun in life, and this is what life's going to be about, and I'm going to experience it, I'm going to explore. There was a man, a wise man in the Scripture one time that said that he opened himself up, and everything that his heart wanted, he got it. Everything that his hand could reach for, he got it. He expended himself on everything and ideas of everything, and then the preacher turned around, and when it was all done, he said, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And there's no value in any of it. None of it makes you happy, makes you better, secures your home, secures your family. None of it makes it better for you. And it never will. It never will. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be just like Leroy Claypole. It's going to be less than impressive for our lives. Folks, the Lord has made such a wonderful way that we can be secure in our lives. I ain't saying anything. People's got choice in life. But I'm going to tell you this. As long as I serve the Lord, He can take care of me all the way. As long as I serve the Lord and as long as my wife serves the Lord, we've got a good life ahead of us. We've got good things in our future. We've got things that the world only wants and can't touch. Lord, help us. The Lord wants us to have this kind of a life. I'd like to look at another scripture. It's in the second chapter of third chapter of 2 Timothy. It says in the first verse, this know also that in the last days, I suppose that the last days have been talked about for centuries. But you can't argue the fact that we're closer to the last days than we have been. We're definitely getting to the last days. This says that know also that in the last day, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. It's a warning. Who's going to read that? I suppose the only one reading it is the people that's interested in it. People of God's reading it. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Do you know that it said in the days of Noah that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually? And it also said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And now it's giving us a list of the heart of men in the last days. That this will be their hearts, that they'll be lovers of themselves. Only what makes me feel good, or what does right to me, proud, and all these things. Absolutely the opposite of the fifth chapter of Matthew. Absolutely opposite of the wisdom that it is to build a house on the solid rock. Everything that's different. I look at the world and say to you, how are they going to get there? How is men's heart getting to this kind of a place? You know how men's hearts get to this? By default. That's how it gets there. If we default our lives from God, this is what the human man will do. In the progress of time, generation after generation, falling upon one another, this is where we end up at. Do you know the likelihood of my children's being able to get any better than me? If I start failing the Lord, you know I'm going to impact my children and my children's children? I can say that by observation. I've seen people do it. I've seen people that once stood for holy, solemn, holy, good, righteous things begin to make excuses in their lives for things less than holy. And I'm going to tell you, it don't work. I'm 53 years old, and this ain't a boast. I'm 53 years old, and I've been saved since I was about 26. Wait a minute, I got saved when I was 24. That's longer than I thought. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen some things under the sun. And one of the things is that when people start making an excuse for worldliness in their lives and less than wholesome living, it don't work. I've never seen a success story in it, ever. When people start wandering away from the things of God, they always end up in a shipwrecked condition. They end up usually as a fault-finding person that finds fault with righteous places in people's lives and this and this, and they end up in a very bad place. Folks, it don't work. It don't work. It says, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. Without natural affections. Some of these things are just almost mind-boggling. I heard a story, I don't know how true it is. I took it as true, and I don't remember the details real well. But I know it was in the abortion scene, and it was talking about these abortions after a certain time. And this abortion was performed, I think, through a drug, and the baby was aborted in kind of a natural sense. But the baby's supposed to die. And the baby didn't. It lived. But there's no policy or there's no... What do you do? Here's people in the profession that's supposed to have an oath to protect life or to all they can do for life, and here is this thing that's not supposed to be alive, and it's alive. And the story was that there was a nurse that took this very small little human being, wrapped it up in this little towel, and sat over, and I think it was, my mind says it was 23 minutes, I thought, rock this little until it died. I didn't think of that. And I thought, I don't know who that woman would be, but she's still got a little natural, something a little natural. She had a natural mother's nurturing love in her. What would cause you to want to do something like that? Or I should say, what would make us not do it? What would make the mother of this child decide to do something so unnatural to her own offspring? Animals would tear you to pieces for trying to destroy theirs. And humans are... How do we get there? Folks, I know this may not be an issue here, but it still begs this question. Because there is something that people start with that's not near that big. It's usually something small that's there that starts people off that direction. It didn't get there overnight. Unnatural. There was a family right there beside where I live. I still remember because these children were good-looking children. There was two boys, young boys, and then there was a daughter. I remember the guy and his wife. I remember the story that was told. All of a sudden, she's gone. She takes the baby, which was a little girl, and she leaves. She leaves West Virginia and goes to California. Leaves the two boys and her husband and takes off to California. Time went on as the little baby grew up a little bit. Not much. It's still just a very small child or baby. And the mother calls the father in West Virginia and says, if you want this child, come and get her. Because I don't want to ever see her again. So he goes and gets the child and brings her back. And Mrs. said, I don't know any other story other than I can remember thinking, how do you get there? Mothers, how could you get there? I mean, I'm not a mother, and a mother is supposed to have more than a father's do, but I cannot imagine not having my children right close for me to take care of and make sure they're all right and make sure that if they're sleep, if most of the time if one of mine is not sleeping, I'm not sleeping either because I feel like I'm there for them. But how do you get, folks, how do we get there? God didn't make us that way. It's a little seed, a little bit, that grows in and grows in. Folks, be careful tonight about what you're willing to allow yourself to do, because the Scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know where it is? It also says that that it'll deceive you. Your heart will deceive you. It will deceive you. You think that whatever you want or desire is the right thing, because your heart will deceive you. This woman wanted, a young woman, she wanted fun, she wanted excitement, she wanted free from the responsibility that held her down. Isn't that what abortion really is? Let's get down to it. Isn't that what it really is? It's the way to say that the things that we do in life have no consequences, and it's the way to say that I don't have to be responsible. And therefore, I can be a career woman, I can do all these things, I can be anything that I want to be. But look what God's thinking. It's hideous, it's wrong. Maybe we don't have it personally, but I'm going to tell you, they got there in a way. And Lord help us. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. You know, it says fierce. In the last day, men will be fierce. How'd they get there? It seems like there's more fierceness all the time. Why don't people care about one another? Why is it that it seems like it's so willing to take life? You know the shooter at Columbine? Everybody's probably heard of the Columbine shooting. They say that young man had a T-shirt right on. The shirt that he wore that day was an atheist T-shirt. Well, there's no God. You know there's going to be consequences for our societies. There's going to be consequences in our lives for doing away with the idea of God. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be awful consequences to it. I want something that works. Folks, this ain't working. This ain't working. If we could only do away with God and then institute our own wisdoms and things in there, we can get to this place of euphoria. We will turn animal. We will devour one another. We will become fierce in our nature. If human life don't matter from the time it's young, and now they're claiming that it don't matter when you're old, if human life don't matter and these kind of things, how can we show to our young people that it matters? There's a consequence. This ain't going to work. The Lord has something that works. I'm thankful tonight that He's got something that works. It says, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Look at another scripture with me over in Luke. Let's see, Luke 13. 34th verse. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Is it working? Is your religion working? Is what you're doing in life working? To quote an old preacher that I knew, remember, some of you might have remembered Brother Bruner. One of his sayings was, if what you got's not working, get rid of it and get something that works. Is it working? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus says, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. And ye would not. I think those words ring in my mind a lot of times. How often? I think we could personalize it. I think the Lord could say that to me. Marty, Marty. How often I wanted to gather you together. how often I had something good for you. How often I wanted to bless your soul. How often I wanted to make a happy, fulfilling day to you. How often I wanted to take you out of your ruts. How often I wanted to give you the courage. I wanted to give you strength. I wanted to give you the grace that's not natural for you. I wanted to give you kind words that what you sow, you can gather. I wanted to bring back something to you. How often I wanted to do these things for you. What would stop me from getting and gaining the things of God? The Scripture says, but you would not. It's the one thing, folks. It's the one thing that stops us. He said in the beginning there in the 7th chapter of Matthew, they that hear these words of mine and do them. He's done his part. He preached the message. He brought the word. He made the sacrifice. He died on the cross for something we couldn't do. He paid for our sins. He done everything that he could do. Now he lays it to us and says, if you will, if you will, it can work for you. It worked for Peter. It worked for Paul. It worked for Apollos. It worked for those men. And it can work for you. It can work for me. It's no different from them and us. We can be as faithful as they've been with the same God, able to help us in our time. It was good enough for Daniel. Daniel got the blessing from it. It was good enough for Joseph. It was good enough for all those faithful patriarchs of old. It worked for them. Yeah, and Joseph could have said in his life at some point, it ain't working. But he believed. It's working. It'll work. And the end will show that it works. It'll work. When my wife and I, maybe I shouldn't say these kind of things, but I'm going to tell it. When my wife and I got together, there was people that didn't like it. You know what our answer and solution was that to that? Let God prove it. Give it to God and let Him prove it. The years have proved it. It's proved it. Our lives will prove it. God will prove Himself in our lives to whether this is good or this is bad. Whether this is something that will work or it won't work. God works. I'd like the whole world to hear this tonight. You won't find this with the politicians or the elections. Or we always want the best. We don't want evil in our land. We do the best we can. But folks, this ain't what happiness is going to be. This ain't what's going to make you. There's a thing called Social Security. Someday I might draw a penny of it. I don't know. But I don't call it security, really. It's what they named it. That's not my security. I'm secure wherever I get anything or not. I'm secure in it because God's secure. I don't put my trust in those kind of things. I put my trust in something that's worked for me. I'm telling you, God works. God works. All the times, folks, that I, in my life, the storm came, okay? The storm came. You ever hear the term the perfect storm? We had what they called a perfect storm up home here just a few years ago. There was a tropical storm hit with another northern storm. They ended up calling it Sandy, I think. They named it. And they said, this is the perfect storm. It has every element of one big, drastic storm. Now listen, I'm talking to Oklahomans, so you all know what storms are. I've had perfect storms hit in my life. I'm thinking of one called Job. Do you know it worked for him? God worked for Job. Oh, there was an argument about whether it was working or not. One point in his life, one storm hit. You remember how it hit? Here comes a messenger and said, your children will stud, and well, I think first it was his sheep and his cow. They're all gone. And I alone are here to tell it. And while he was yet speaking, here come another messenger. And while he was yet speaking, here come the third. A total blast of everything he owned, his children, all is all in one big storm destroyed. But he wasn't destroyed. The foundation was true and sure. I've had those kind of places in my life, folks, to where the perfect storm's here now on my soul. It's in my life. Things are falling to pieces, it looks like. Oh, how many times I went to my knees. How many times I went to that place and prayed, and I never came up like I went down. God has always worked in my life to give me what I needed when I needed it the most. Do you know God is a healing God? God's a healing God. And the storms came before. I appreciate God so much. My little boy, he's older now, but when he was just a little feller, he was running across a wooden porch, and it was right during before our camp meeting. I think it was cleaning for our camp meeting, and he got a splinter in his foot. It was an old treated wood, old floor. I remember bribing him with a popsicle to dig it out, and I tried to dig that out of there, and it was painful to him, and it got the main splinter out. But I remember being troubled that never bled. It was kind of deep, but it never bled. And I kept thinking, that ought to bleed. We sat with bleed out real good, and it didn't. And then about the time our camp meeting was going on, he come down to our stairs at the house, and he started crying. I thought he stubbed his toe, and I looked, and his foot was infected from where that splinter was at. And it was these red lines running up his leg. He had blood poisoning. It was running up his leg. Well, that night was camp meeting, so we took him to the camp meeting. I had him anointed and prayed for and went on with service. He fell asleep. When we took him home, when we got home, it had inflamed even more. And the poison had went through him, and his little hands looked like balloons. The infection was in his foot and the lines up his foot, but his hands turned almost beet red, and it was just like he blew up a balloon. It was all swollen and all these little hands, this little feller. And we have a God. Thank God. And we'll tell you, there's so much more involved in life than we ever see or know. God asks things of us sometimes and wants things, and God knows how to get our attention. And I remember praying. No, I didn't pray like I did the night before. Or the night before, or the day before. Not this time. Oh, I'm desperate. Lord, started praying. He was fussing around and fevering, fussing up into the night, and I was praying, and I didn't stop praying. And I kept praying, and up into the night, I'm still praying, and this little fella, and now comes the storm. Oh, the devil ain't going to leave this one alone. Doom, and all these things are piling on me, and all these things, and I kept praying. And I prayed until peace came over my soul. Oh, I'm telling you, I remember it so well. God opened up heaven and poured out a confidence on me while I was praying. Just over me. And as soon as it came over me and this peace of God was on my soul, my son just eased out. The fussing and moving around was over. And he just laid down and was quiet. And slept the rest of the night through. And the next day, it was all gone. The storm came. And the anchor held. Oh, God's got something for us tonight, God. God is real. I want to say it to you tonight. God is real. He isn't when His children are in need. He is standing. Jesus is standing on the right hand of God. He's at alert. He's at attention. He is not forsaking you. He's real. God wants a people that will show the world that God is real. God does answer prayer. He hears the prayer of these people. God's real. And He's got something that works. Oh, it works. I don't like things that don't work. I wouldn't believe me here if it didn't work. It works. God is willing to show you tonight. And who you are. And the needs that you have. And what causes you to be dysfunctional when you're dysfunctional. God is willing to show you that and heal that in your life. He wants to do it. He doesn't want us to get to these kind of places to where the world's at now. We can walk uprightly in this present day. We don't have to be affected by what's going on around us. God is that strong and mighty. He did it for Daniel in a kingdom that was not his own kingdom, in a place that was heathen and pagan and idolatry worship, and Daniel was true anyway. Because he had a God that worked. Because the thing worked in his life. Put your name into this. Oh, how often I would have gathered you together. How often I wanted to show you my great saving hand. How often I wanted to show and prove to you that you can have faith in me and I can heal you of anything you have need of. But you would not. You would not. You wouldn't give. You wouldn't allow me to show myself to you. How often I desired it. I think the Lord is really desiring to have a people tonight. 2 Peter. Oh, there's things that works, folks. Let's see. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Can I really be? Can I really be a partaker of a divine nature? What's that talking about? Can I, as mere mortal, raised ignorantly without hardly a mind for God? Can I, somebody that barely made it through my school years? No, I don't put myself high up there as intellectually. But can I be a partaker of the divine nature? Can I have something that's outside of me that works in my life, that runs and blesses my life like that? Whereby are giving to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I'm going to tell you, this will work. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This works. Take heed. This works. This will bless your life. It will bless your home. It'll bless your family. It'll bless your grandchildren, your children. It'll bless your neighbors. It'll bless all that are around you because you won't be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and it don't work. It don't work. Young people, listen to me tonight. Found your life on the Lord Jesus, and it'll work. Don't. It won't work. You won't be happy. You won't be prosperous. It won't work. I've seen it over and over and over. I would like, it's a burden in my heart tonight across our nation. There is multitudes. I am convinced tonight there is multitudes of young people taking their first smoke of a cigarette tonight. There will be multitudes of young people tonight taking their first drink or their first smoke of marijuana or some mischievous activity tonight. There is young people that are throwing their life away. in a single moment, a direction that it's chosen. They're throwing themselves away tonight. I wish I could stop it. I wish I could grab every one of them and say, please listen to the words of wisdom. Wisdom crieth in the street tonight. This is where you're going to end up with. You start smoking that you may never quit. It ends in lung failure. It ends in heart failure. It ends in a wrecked life, a ruined life. It'll destroy your life tonight. Don't go that way. Don't go the ways of the entertainments. Don't you think they don't touch you? Yes, they do. They affect who you are as a person. They will set up who you are. They'll create something in you. Your heart will deceive you in what you want. Don't go that way. Well, I don't have the privilege tonight of talking to a big audience of our nation, young people. Wish I did. I don't have the privilege. But I have a little congregation here tonight. I want to tell you, don't pick something that don't work tonight. Pick something that has been tried and proved. Over the years, I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking about Christendom. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus works. That's what works. I've heard all my life, any minister worth his salt, only thing he can do is point people to Christ. That's right, I have nothing. I have nothing, Brother Philip has nothing. We don't have nothing but the Lord. That's all we can offer you tonight is the Lord Jesus, the one that works. And He'll work in spite of us, regardless of us, and if we're along the way out of the picture, He'll work for you anyway. He won't forsake you in no way, no how. That's the one that we're pointing you to. That's the one that will work for us in our lives. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Oh, how true. How true it is as of a nation that is forgetting God. And of a nation that once had, and earlier in the meeting I gave a definition of wisdom. And that definition is the ability to see the results of an action. That's a simple, very plain way of looking at wisdom. It is the ability to see the results of an action. And they that lacketh these things? Our world is not able to see the results of what they're doing. They're not able to calculate. Since 1973, Roe versus Wade decision to legalize abortion, they have no idea how they've destroyed the value of human life. They have no value. Today they have no ability. They're blind and cannot see afar off. They cannot see wisdom and its working. They can't see that if I plant this today, I'm going to have to reap it down the road. They can't see that if I do this, I'm going to have to pay for that somewhere. They cannot see it. They're blinded in their own selfish, lustful world, and they can't see afar off. But for the people of God, we have a simple solution. Jesus is our answer. And He'll be as true to us as He ever was to anybody. And you and I can be as successful, as Brother Salmon used to say, I'd rather my children be ditch diggers and serve the Lord than to be President of the United States. And I wholeheartedly concur with that. I'd rather see my children with a heart to serve God than to achieve all the great things that this world has and lose their soul in the process. Tonight, I offer you something in the Spirit of the Lord. Something that works. This works. You can bank on it. It will work in your life. And when you come down and the storms come, folks, the storm's going to come in your life. You're going to have to face, I tell folks up home, either I'm going to bury you or you're going to bury me. And either way is going to hurt. Either for me or for you. We're going to face those kind of things. I can say to my wife, honey, I'm going to bury you or you're going to bury me. One or the other. It's the realities. We got to face the realities of this. But I'm going to tell you, there's something that we can put our feet solidly on and know that the storms of this life, no matter how much. What about some more attacks on the country? Can you stand them? What about the deterioration of the morals of our country? Can you stand them? Can you stand against them? What can you stand? Jesus said we can stand it all if we heed and do His word. Lord, help us tonight. You pray for me.